Welcome back to She Said, He Said with Kelly Lamb and Gordon Montgomery. Presented by Homes for Sale by Montgomery.com. That's Homes, the number four, sale by Montgomery.com. On 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to 590 The Fan. You're listening to She Said, He Said. And we've been talking about all kinds of stuff. It is the 4th of July weekend. The Cardinals are playing. We have Fair St. Louis downtown. Speaking of Fair St. Louis downtown, there's some decent acts this year, Kelly. Did you know that?
Who's going to be there?
Well, we have Super Duper Kyle, which I don't know who that is, to be quite honest with you, and Akon. They take the stage Sunday. That's when the fair opens. It's Sunday at 1 p.m. and it's at Forest
Super
Park.
Super Duper Kyle?
Super Duper Kyle. I have no idea who that is.
I was just going to ask you if you knew who that was.
No, Super Duper Kyle.
I don't know.
That's who it is.
He must be Super Duper.
And Monday, July 3rd, we have Eve Six, Sister Hazel, and Three Doors Down. Those are.
I know those.
Yeah, that should be a pretty good show right there. And then Matt Stillwell, Dan and Shay, and Jake Owen to close it out.
So, like, where will it all take place? Because, you know, they've done so much changing around down there at the Arch with all the, you know, the new build and that like that.
From what I saw on the map, I looked at the map kind of quickly, but it looks like it's all around that big, right down there where the big, you know, that big Art Hill, you know where Art Hill is at the bottom of it? Right down there, all along around Art Hill and where the boathouse and all that stuff is.
Yeah, because they've had to move everything, of course, because of, you know, with the changing of the arch and everything. So I was wondering, how are they doing it? Where are they putting it at?
Forest Park is so cool.
It's beautiful.
Isn't it?
I hope it doesn't get totally destructed with 4th of July. Well, that's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, they've had it there for a few years now since the arch has been being dismantled.
Oh, it has been there a few years?
Because the arch, I think 2 years, maybe two or three. I don't know. I should probably I didn't realize I was going to get
drilled
on that one. But I
know I'm going to ask you more questions.
It was there last year. Well, since they've been doing the work at the Arch Grounds, they've had it there.
When is the last time you've been to a VP fair?
Oh, my gosh.
Or a parade downtown?
Probably 10, 12 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't been down there.
I have not. I cannot remember the last time that I have been to a VP fair. I remember sweating. And being in massive crowds. And I don't remember being comfortable whatsoever.
Right.
And the concerts were just hugely crowded. I'm not big on being in big crowds. It doesn't bother some people, but I don't like it.
No. And Fair St. Louis probably won't like me saying this, but the safety nowadays, it's like just feeling safe.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have a lot.
Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day and the weather will be great and everybody will enjoy it. So we are going to have some fun here. We are going to have a nice interview here. We're going to meet Herb Fried. He is a author, he's a director, he's a screenwriter, and he's a former rabbi. So Herb Fried has a book. He's the author of Bashert. We're going to find out what that means and what his book is about. Welcome to the show, Herb Fried. How are you?
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Kelly.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm here with Gordon Montgomery, and we're so pleased to have you.
Hi, Gordon. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
So tell us about this book. And wow, you've got a lot behind you here, a screenwriter and former rabbi. So obviously, Jewish would be a huge background in you.
Well, you know, we all have a cross to bear. As it were.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I was a rabbi for just a very short time, but then I was a film director for about 35 years, did a lot of that, and this is my very first novel. I've written a lot of screenplays and like that, but this is the goal of my life. It's a love story, and the word Bashert, B-A-S-H-E-R-T, Bashert, is a Yiddish word. And it means soulmate. It means it really deals with finding the one that I believe you were destined to find. And the story is an adventure story of two people who meet in their 40s. She was divorced recently, and he was a widower. And the minute they saw one another, it was like that lightning bolt in the Godfather. You know, when you see that one person And you just have that feeling that just goes right through you, and it overtakes everything. It overtakes your brain, your heart, and you just know that you have found the one person that you are meant to be with. And that's what the word means, Bashert.
That's awesome. So what compelled you to want to write this story and bring this word to light to everyone else?
Primarily because I experienced it, and I had time to reflect on it, because my wife passed away 5 years ago. I had been married before, my first wife passed away when we were both very young. When Marion and I met, she was a screenwriter and a film editor. I was a director, and we both knew immediately that we were meant to be inside each other's heads. It was one of those things. She would say something, and I would immediately recognize that it's something I felt but didn't say, and it went both ways. You know, I know. That some people say that men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Every day.
Well, I tend to believe that boys are from Mars and girls are from Venus. But I do believe that although the young Shakespeare probably tugged at the pigtails of the girl that he was infatuated with, in his later years, when he came to experience what love can be, the glory, the sanctity of love, he was as much female as male in terms of how he understood the idea of love and how transcendent it can be. And so that's how I came to write about the book. And it's being received in a very interesting way, because, you know, one of the first reviews was titled, you know, "Can Love Transcend Death?" In other words, is this an eternal thing? Is it during your lifetime? And it's an interesting thing to explore. And the book goes on a series of adventures with the two lead characters, and they take you all over the world, in Jamaica and some of the Rastafarianism and Maya, the Mayan cultures in Guatemala. These are all things that I've experienced in life. I mean, as a filmmaker, and I made television commercials all over the world as well. So I came to understand what the process is, and as I felt it so deeply, I saw other people around me who also felt that way. Not everyone, I understand that, but many, many people who do. And if you can find that in your life, I think it elevates your life, it glorifies it. It's a wonderful thing. So that's what I chose to write about.
So the book it's not a Jewish book, but the character itself is. So how did you distinguish between making the book not Jewish, but the character itself Jewish?
Well, you know, the way I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, in a very assimilated community. And so, I had Jewish friends, I had Catholic friends, I had Protestant friends, I had African American friends.
Sure.
And this is all, you know, we just grew up together. And so my experience in life it comes from all those sources. You know, I think we can be, whatever our backgrounds are, I think they're in America, the beauty of growing up in America in this wonderful melting pot is that you get to experience so many different kinds of life with different people who come from different backgrounds. And so my background as a rabbi was interesting, and my best friend during the 3 years I was a rabbi was an Episcopal vicar. You share all these things in your life. As it turns out, the two people who both my wives were Jewish. My first wife was a Broadway actress. She was a Fiddler on the Roof and West Side Story, and she was the daughter of an Orthodox rabbi who was not born in this country, and didn't quite understand what she was. But she was fully assimilated as I am, and so I speak to people of all faiths, of all colors, of all religions, and I listen very carefully so that I can learn from them as they can learn from me.
Do you think that sometimes Hollywood kind of has an oversight of, you know, I think it's great that you're showing love later in life, you know, that there is hope for people, that, you know, it's not all about, you know, young love, the puppy love that they show in Hollywood on TV, that, you know, it does come later in life as well.
Well, that's a brilliant point that you raised, because, you know, so much of what I've experienced in my filmmaking, every time I go to write another screenplay, the studio and the producers always say, you know, be sure to keep it, you know, focused on our audience, and our audience is somewhere between 14, you know, and 25. And so that's what you get to see very often in movies. However, there are, and there have been some recently, some in America, and certainly in Europe, you get the idea of people who understand different aspects of love, and it's not all just, you know, getting into a car and racing down the highway, with a can of beer in your hand. I mean, you could do that too, but there are so many different levels. And the level of caring for someone, and that the depth of emotion that you get to feel when you've already experienced all that, is a very beautiful thing. And in fact, I think about 2 years ago there was a French movie called Amour, the word French word for love, and it deals with two very old elderly people, and they're probably in their 60s or 70s. And it's a gentle, beautiful, touching love story. Won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film, and that's what interests me at the moment. I made plenty of films for kids and for teenagers and that sort of thing. But what really moves me is the love story of two mature people who grow together, who live together, who love together, who laugh together, who dance together. My wife was in her later years was stricken with a terrible disease, lupus, and when she was sick, it was very sick, and my heart was with her all the time. And then on those days when she was feeling good, she just popped out of bed, and we just danced, you know, the whole time. And that's the kind of thing that you do when there's something more than just puppy love. And that's what I choose to write about.
So, Herb, if Bashert makes it to the big screen, who would play this Jewish man? Who would be your pick?
Well, hard to say, because Daniel Day-Lewis would be my choice, but he just retired from the movie business. But it's kind of hard to say, because there are actually two couples in the story. One is an elderly couple, and the other is the daughter of the wife, and she meets a young man, a young African American man, and the two of them and all four of them, you know, have this great union and very strong love affairs on two levels. But it's kind of hard to say. And one of the things a director never wants to say is to mention the name of a particular actor or actress, because when you start looking, someone will say to you, "But that's not what you said to Kelly and Montgomery." And we happen to know that, you know, you wanted somebody else, and you're settling for me. So you don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
Well, that was a safe choice with Daniel Day-Lewis, since he's retired.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, since he's retired, I felt it was safe.
Perfect. Well, Herb Fried, thank you so much for spending your morning with us. We hope you have a safe and fun and great 4th of July. Gosh, several days we have until Tuesday.
Yes.
Just celebrate
it's
every
almost
single
a four-day
day.
Weekend, yeah.
And we want everybody to get a copy of your book, Bashert. I'm sure Amazon and everywhere you're able to find this.
Absolutely. If I get a chance to look at a website, go to Herb Fried, HERBFRIED.com, or go to Amazon. The word is Bashert, Bashert. I'm so happy to talk to you guys this morning. It's been lovely, and I want to thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you
so much. We appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and we will be back. We've got What's Rocking, got some fireworks coming up. We got our trivia question. Actually, I'll give it to you right now. Do you know what the year that we first celebrated, July 4th? If you know the year that we celebrated July 4th, you can pop it up on our Facebook if you're watching it there live, or you can call us at 855-282-8255. I know I haven't said the number one single freaking time. 855-282-8255. Or that's talk. 855-282-8255. Or pop it up on Facebook. What year do we first celebrate July 4th? It's pretty easy. I've got a gift certificate for you. We'll be right back right here on 590 The Fan. Gosh.